sold it for probably 2 years.
And you made off with
it. And before that, it was sun dried. But when I sing it now, it's actually a very beautiful song. It tells us about it's actually in a picture. It's a picture just like a messenger being the sword. It's a picture of the sword being the word of God and how it's as necessary and beautiful it is. But yeah, that seems on the right. All right, let's pray. Lord, I do want to thank you for this day. I do want to thank you, Lord, for the tremendous blessing it's been to be able to preach these messages, Lord. Thank you for the work you've been doing in me, Lord. And Lord, just continue to work today, Lord, in this last message. In lives, Lord, making them more like gold, but also, Lord, if there is anyone here unsaved, Lord, stirring them, Lord, the need for the Savior. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been having a little bit of trouble this morning with anxiety. And so I've been praying a lot, giving to the Lord my anxiety, and it's working. I'm praising the Lord. See, these lessons that I'm teaching are not just for teens, not just for kids. These are everyday battles that we need to deal with as adults as well. And I praise the Lord for that message, because even though, yes, I stand up here and I preach a message, it seems like I'm preaching at you guys. The study of it, and when you allow God to work his message in your heart, it actually affects us as well. And it is a tremendous blessing. So this week, we've been basically sitting on and looking at three groups of people. And run with patience has been the theme for this camp. And I'll be going into different pictures other than the race. But these three groups are ones you are all a part of one of these groups. You're all part of one of these groups. And discerning which group you're in can be the first good step towards changing if it's necessary or continuing on as well. And we can see these three groups from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Go then to verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. It says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even unto babes in Christ." The three groups we have here is the natural man, the spiritual man, and the carnal man. Now the natural man is the one outside Christ. He cannot discern spiritual things because it says they're spiritually discerned. And if you know the scriptures, you understand that when you are saved, you have the Spirit of God come and dwell in you. And so if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, how can the Spirit of God be helping you and teaching you about the things of the Word of God? Spiritually discerned are people without the Spirit and the natural man. Now with this week we have you've been shown the way to be saved, the way to become a Christian, the way to be in the race, to be in the bond. We've seen this in the second message I preached. I spoke on salvation and how we can get in the bond, basically. The necessity because of your sin is detrimental consequences if you choose not to be saved, but also there. Death and hell, a continual weakness here on earth without being able to have any victory over any sin, and a turmoil in your hearts, never having peace within your hearts. Now, if you are unsaved today, this means you've actually rejected the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus has been presented to you this week, and if not, if you've been in his group for a long time and you've been been shown, I'm sure you've heard about the Lord Jesus, the necessity to be saved. And if you're not saved here today, you've rejected the Lord Jesus. Which actually marks the question. And I'd like you to turn to Mark, which is the question. This is a question that the Lord Jesus actually said. Mark in chapter 8. Mark in chapter 8, we go to verse 36 and 37. Mark 8, 36, it says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whatever is stopping you from accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you see as more valuable or more important than your soul." You understand that? What will you give in exchange for your soul? If your soul isn't given to the Lord, and whatever is stopping you, you think is more valuable than your soul. That's basically where it comes down to. What is stopping you? Is it got anything to do with the popularity of your friends? Has it got anything to do with the friends that you have? Or losing your friends? Maybe you're afraid of what God actually might require of you. Whatever it may be that's stopping you from repenting of your sin, turning to the Lord in simple faith and belief that He did die for you and take away your sin on the cross there, whatever's stopping you, you think is more valuable than your soul. What you're actually putting in the balance is eternity. Eternity in hell, eternity in heaven, and, like I've talked about, peace here on earth. Maybe you just don't believe. Maybe you just don't believe that this is true. What I've been talking about is true. Well, then can you believe it's true, is my question, because the Bible has been proven to be true throughout history. The fact that the Lord Jesus himself fulfilled 300 prophecies from the Old Testament in when he came to earth and what he did here on the earth fulfilled 300 prophecies, which is, mind you, an impossibility. It's impossible for that to happen. There's got to be something true about it. There's got to be some power within it. The evidence that the world shows, that this actual physical world shows, that this word of God is true, just declaring the glory of God, or looking out there and seeing the heavens, seeing the creation, these things speak wonders of there is a God. What can you believe? Are you going to put your faith or your belief in something like the origin of species, which you hold up to try to the same accusations that the Bible has had, the origin of species will fail every time? Any other book you can think of, any other wisdom that comes from any other man you can think of, it will always, always fail. It will always fail. But God's word has never. God's word has never been proven to be untrue. Receive the gift that the Lord Jesus offers you today. It's very important. Very, very important. You'll never regret it. We then have the spiritual man and the carnal man. Both of these are saved. Both of these people have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But the carnal man is not acting like the natural man. The carnal man has the Spirit of God within him, but he's acting like he's not saved. He is living in a way that is not pleasing unto the Lord. He is listening to the flesh and listening to the world rather than listening to the Spirit of God within and listening to the Word of God. My messages this week have mainly been to this group of carnal Christians, to this group of useless, fruitless Christians. I believe that a branch that is in Christ that is useless can do more damage than an unsaved person. I believe that a Christian who is saved, proclaiming the name of Christ, saying, "Yeah, I'm saved," and then living immorally, living carnally, and acting just like the world in bitterness and strife and envy, ungodliness, I believe that can do more damage to the word of God and the testimony of the Lord Jesus' name than an unsaved person can ever do. You need to snap out of it. That's what's really coming down to. You need to snap out of it, get out of the rut that you're in, and start serving God. Because you are doing damage to the name of the Lord. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this world. It's very important for us to have that point of view, look up to heaven, and see the Lord Jesus. If you did the devotions this morning, you would have seen the necessity for us to be looking towards the prize, looking towards the goal, forgetting those sins of which are behind, and pressing on toward the mark. It's so very important that us as Christians do this. Fix your eyes and your desires on the Lord Jesus Christ and work on your relationship. Work on your relationship. Now, the other man that spoke of here is the spiritual man. And this one is the one who was running the race well. Now, Christians that are running the race well can still be back here. They can still be very far ahead. There's obviously a difference in where they will be and walk with the Lord. But a spiritual man is one that hears the word of God and obeys. A spiritual man is one that is not desiring to do what their flesh wants, but is desiring what God wants for their life. And wherever you may be, what I'm desiring to say to you today is keep going. I'm like a runner that runs down beside you and says, it's okay, keep going. Keep trusting the Lord, keep pressing on, and get through the pain. Keep going on for the Lord. But I'm also going to say, be careful of what's ahead. There's hurdles. There's forks in the road. There's rocks. There's sin that you may trip over. And one of these things is pride. To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Make sure you keep a humble spirit in the race that you're running, because pride can stumble the spiritual Christian. It's very important to keep this in mind. Are you weary? How many times have you fallen? You know what? I was just thinking about it before, that like a runner goes for the Powerade, or I suppose you could say, let's talk about an energy drink. Well, what kind of energy drink do you need to boost you, keep you going? It's a really bad example, because any energy drinks actually tear you down after a little bit. But this is not what we're talking about today. What do you need to keep you going on? What do you need to keep building you up and keep you pressing towards that mark? Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the end of the earth, fainteth not? Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. This is what God, the creator of the universe, thinking about who he is, and he wants to help you. He doesn't faint, he never gets weary, and he wants to help you. Not only do you have people around you to help you, to encourage you to go on, but you have God himself next to you, helping you along the way. Trust in what he has there for you. It says there in verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. It's saying that even the ones who think that they have lots of strength, like the young men, they will fall. They will get weary. They will have hard times in their life. But this is where we're coming to, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See the promise there? They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This comes down to depending on they that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. What does it mean here to wait upon the Lord? It doesn't mean to wait like you think, like stop and expect the Lord to do something. It's not that kind of waiting. Without getting into it too much, it comes down to the actual more of an impression of trust. It comes more to an impression of when you were at that time and period in your life of weariness and lacking strength and knowing you can't go on in your walk with the Lord, it's like getting on your knees and reaching up your hands. Getting on your knees and reach up your hand, God will help you. And it's an amazing, amazing truth. Just as actually what happened this morning, when I was feeling these anxieties overwhelming me, I got on my knees and I said, Lord, this is hopeless. I can't get these thoughts out of my mind. I'm feeling angry and I'm getting this stress overwhelming me. And I got down on my knees and I cried and said, Lord, please help me. I held up my hand and He pulled me out. And I'm really rejoicing that the Lord has done this morning. We've been talking about abiding. This is the key. It's coming back down to the roots and trusting in the stock, which is the Lord Jesus, the root stock. The wonderful promises are basically you'll get more strength. Now we're talking about endurance, continuing in this race. It's talking about let us run with patience, which is endurance. Well, this is exactly where we get our endurance from. And this is really the fundamental truth about this whole camp, is trust in the Lord, and He will renew your strength. And that is mostly the problem of why we don't have strength in the Christian walk. And my prayer today is that every one of you here today will leave camp stirred up inside with an increased vigor to go ahead for the Lord. Whether you are out of the race, well, I desire that you get in the race. If you are in the race and you are a carnal Christian and you are struggling and not abiding the vine, I pray that God will stir in you the desire to go forward for the Lord. And if you are a Christian that's running and you're running well, guess what? I'm getting beside you and say, keep going. Keep going. There is joy at the end. There is joy as well in serving the Lord as well. It gets hard. It's not easy, but it is worth it in the end. Keep on going. Listen to what God has for you. That's what I'm going to stop at this morning. And look,